In the name of the one who has graciously given us everything that we need. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you like children's movies? Over the last few years, I've had the opportunity to enjoy many children's movies with my children, and now I've even been blessed to enjoy those movies with my grandchildren. The movies we've enjoyed the most are the ones that have been put out by Walt Disney. And one of our favorites, and probably as I can remember, one of the first ones that I ever watched with my children was the story of a little boy named Mowgli in the Jungle Book. Mowgli was this infant that lived in the village with his family. And one day a tiger was attacking their village and chasing the people out of the village. While they were fleeing from this tiger, somehow Mowgli got lost in the jungle. As he cried out for his parents, a wolf found him. And this wolf took him back to his den where his mate was with their newborn cubs. And so Mowgli was raised alongside those cubs in the jungle. In the story of the Jungle Book, we see Mowgli as he has his friends in the animals. He has many different friends that fulfill many different needs for Mowgli. He has his friend the panther that teaches him many things and protects him. He has his friend Baloo the bear, who is his oftentimes source of great entertainment. He has any number of friends amongst the animals, but he also learns the dangers of some of those animals. So he learns the danger of the snake, and then he learns the danger of that same tiger that had threatened him years earlier. But as time goes on and as Mowgli matures, the friends see something's missing. Something isn't quite complete for Mowgli. And then they come upon something new, something different, as they see this little girl going out to fetch water by the stream. And something in Mowgli arises. He realizes, wow, this is different. This is special. And the friends know, Mowgli doesn't belong with them in the jungle. He belongs in the man village. And it's only in the man village that he can be complete. In a similar way in our text before us this morning, God shows the incompleteness of man. And he shows us that God makes us complete. He makes us complete as he shows us that need. He makes us complete by creating the solution. And after making us complete, he reveals to us the perfection of that completeness. Just before this, in the very first chapter that we have in our Bible, God has laid out for us the creation of the universe. He created all things, and he said at the end of each day, it was good. It was perfect. It was God's creation. And on that sixth day, God created man and woman. He created them as the last of his creation because they were the crown of his creation. in chapter 2 of Genesis, God expounds on this beautiful act, this creation of man and woman. Now, this reference in chapter 2 is, it's not another day, it's not a different day. This is still the sixth day of creation. Everything that occurs in our text is still on that sixth day of creation. In the words before our text, we hear, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." If you've noticed along with me, this isn't the way the rest of creation took place. Because man isn't just any creation. They are the crown of God's creation. This is why God created everything. He created everything to fill the needs of man. All that on that sixth day, one 24-hour day. And the rest of the events that occur in our text, the naming of all the animals, the creation of woman, the creation of man, that's still that sixth day. Sometimes for our human minds, that seems pretty amazing. That's an awful lot of things going on. But let's never forget, this is the Almighty God. With Him, nothing is impossible. So God takes this man that He formed out of the ground. He takes this man and He puts him into His perfect creation. He puts him into that garden to work the garden and to rule over it. Yet as perfect as the world was, as good as it was, something was missing. Even before man realized it, God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Man is perfect. He's God's crown of creation. But he's not yet complete. So God shows that man that he has a need. He says, "I will make a helper suitable for him." This is different, again, it's different than any other creation. It's not just a companion. It's not just somebody to be with. He says, "I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. I'm going to make the perfect companion for him. I'm going to make the perfect match for him." God had filled the world with companions. He had filled the world with creatures that surrounded man. And like the story in the Jungle Book, Mowgli had lots of friends. He had friends to play with. He had friends to be with. But none of them could make him complete. None of the creatures that there were in the world could equal man in his mentality. None could match with him physically. None could match with him emotionally. And most importantly, none could match with him spiritually. He needed a helper suitable for him. God knew that even before man knew that. So God goes about showing this to man. And he shows it to him in a way not just that Adam could hear, but he showed him an example he could see, something he could experience. And so God took all of this creation. He took all the animals that he had created. He took the birds of the air and he brought them to Adam. And he brought them to Adam to name them. Imagine the enormity of that task. All of those animals and all those birds. And think if you were surrounded by those animals. Wouldn't we run? If you had a lion standing there in front of you, or a tiger standing there in front of you. But beyond the safety of Adam, God gave Adam the perfect knowledge, the ability to look at all of the characteristics of the animals, to look at their unique features, and to name them, and to give them the perfect name. And whatever name Adam gave them, that was their name. So we can look at a tiger, we can look at a lion, we can look at a giraffe, and know this is the name that Adam gave them. This is the perfect name for that animal. But something else happened with Adam while he was naming all those animals. Because what gathered before him was not just a tiger, or a lion, or one giraffe. He saw that each of these animals had a mate, something that was perfect for them. He saw those animals, he saw male and female together come before him. And as he's naming these animals, he realizes there's no one, there's no creature perfect for him. He had a need. So God brought all those animals before him and said, "It's not good for man to be alone." We all know someone that has lost a loved one. Someone maybe that was their match. And at times I've heard people say, "Well, that person needs to get a pet. That would be very good for them." And often it is good to have a pet, because pets can help us in many ways. They can give us companionship. They can give us comfort. But no creature is perfect for us except for the perfect match that God has created. That companion, that helper suitable for us. So in our text, God creates the perfect solution to man's need. This creation isn't like the rest of creation. God could have just said, "He needs a companion. There. There's the companion." All he needed to do was speak the word. That's not what God did. He took special care and a special love to create that perfect union, that perfect companion, that perfect match for man. Just as he had taken time to form that dirt into a human being and breathe into the nostrils of man the breath of life, he used a very special means to create woman. To create that perfect companion, God used the first surgery. Our text tells us that God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. Then he reached into man and he took out of that man a rib. Think about that. God didn't take part of his head. He didn't take a toe. He didn't take part of his leg. He took a rib out of man. A rib that was used to protect the most valuable parts of our bodies. A rib close to the heart of man, close to his very being. God took that out of man. And then he closed up man, and then he took that rib and he created a helper suitable for him. Now God didn't just take that rib and make a clone. He didn't make a clone of Adam and say, yeah, it's perfect, he's just like him. It's not what man needed. Man needed a helper suitable for him. One that would mesh with him. One that would go together. Picture, if you would, a machine that has all its gears that make it move. And you have two gears that mesh perfectly together. And as they mesh perfectly together, that machine moves. Now those gears, they aren't exactly the same. They might not even look the same. One might mesh in sideways with the other. But as they mesh together, the machine moves along. Have you found your gear? Is your gear just like you? Exactly like you? Or is that gear that you found the one that makes you complete? The one that makes your life full and fulfills what you need? Think about that as God presents Eve to Adam. When Adam woke up from this deep sleep, God presented Eve to him. She's not exactly like him. She's different from him. But she's perfect for him. And even though Adam has been in a deep sleep, he awakes and he realizes where Eve came from and what her relationship to him would be. And listen to the words that Adam says as Eve is presented to him. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Wow. He says, this is me. This is part of me. This is an important part of me. This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She is my very being. Wow. Just think of how wonderful it would be if all men spoke this highly of women. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. So often today, we talk about our marriages, and there's that honeymoon period where the person, I found the perfect person, or as some websites like to say, our soulmate. Yet that bond, that person that is so perfect for us, the one that is God's gift to me, just short years later, sometimes it looks as if they couldn't be greater adversaries than those two people. Can we apply this relationship of Adam and Eve to our relationships today? Is she still bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh? That relationship, that commitment between man, one man and one woman, is the same today as it was there in our text. We hear said in our text just after, it says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. This is the unconditional commitment that God created between Adam and Eve. This is the unconditional commitment that still exists today. A commitment that is so strong that it now establishes something new. When God created Eve and gave Eve to Adam, that was the beginning of the human race. But even more so, that was the establishment of a loving, caring union between man and woman. That relationship, as it exists today, is so special that it supersedes other relationships. Even the relationship that a man may have with his father and mother, that a woman might have with her father or mother and her family. Because now there is a new family. The one where they share everything with one another. As the text says, they will become one flesh. This is more than just a physical union. It's a union of interests and pursuits. It's a union of thought, a union of feeling, a union of commitment, a spiritual union. So often today we see those unions fall apart and oftentimes end in divorce because one or both of the people, of the individuals, go off in their own way to pursue their own interests. Suddenly this bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh isn't so strong anymore. When those unions do end in divorce, a part is missing. The individuals, they are damaged, and often others are damaged as well. After our text, we see man and woman as their commitment to the Lord seems to waver, or it does waver, as they start to think in their own ways and follow their own pursuits and their own desires, as man and woman eat of the tree that God has forbidden, and everything changes. The whole world changes. Their relationship changes. And now they're lost. We too, every day, give in to our human desires, our own desires for our own interests, and we waver and we fall. And we fall so far as Adam and Eve did, down that path that leads to destruction, and that leads to hell, and leaves us in the darkness of sin. There is no greater darkness. My friends, there is no greater loneliness than the loneliness of sin. Sin leaves us alone. Sin leaves us separated from God. Sin leaves us lost. But God sees our need. He sees our loneliness. He completes us. He set the solution for our need. He sent his son into the world. And Jesus took on that darkness of sin. As we see him hanging in darkness on that cross of Calvary. At that time, he was separated. He was separated by those sins that were hanging on him, separated from God. He felt the loneliness of sin. When he said on that cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But if you look, something's missing from the cross. God didn't leave him there. Your Savior rose from the dead. He rose from the dead to give you the fulfillment, the completeness, the perfection that he won for you. He rose from that dead to make our relationship, our relationships in this world complete, but most importantly, our relationship with him complete. So we have that ultimate marriage, the marriage between Christ and the church, the one where we share everything with our Heavenly Father, as we too will share in the gifts that come through that marriage. The gift of everlasting life. The gift of forgiveness of sins that he won on the cross. That leads us to our heavenly goal. Because God makes us